Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. Go by SEC Mike, go on the Twitters. But today, I'm Boober Mike over here, and there's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane, who goes by Sooner Shane on this episode. How you doing, buddy?
Usually later, Shane, but we'll go with Sooner. Come on now. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Yeah, and just judging by the comments, Shane, I mean, we're thankful whenever we get cousins in here, right?
Yes.
But today, it's like there's already hundreds of comments, because if you can't tell by now, we are doing our debut fall camp preview series.
Yes.
Supposed to be the other day. And then I think it was we pushed it another day. Then Shane got sick. Then we pushed it another day. So we're finally here, Shane. We're finally here. We're previewing the Oklahoma Sooners fall camp. We're going to go over the schedule. We're going to go over his transfers. I put in some new graphics. We've never done this live, so fingers crossed it works. And we're doing the Sooners because that was our largest donation on Sunday's show.
Yes.
So another added addition of doing this live, Shane. We're going to let the cousins pick who gets the next fall camp preview series, whoever donates the most. And again, totally optional. Nobody has to do it. But the biggest donation we get on this show, we'll do your team next on the next fall camp preview series. And we've already got a leading candidate, Shade, is Georgia, because JR, the legend, he's back again. Even when we're talking Oklahoma, he says, you know what?
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
Oh, yeah. Well, he just doubled down here, too.
Uh-oh. So,
while you're doing that, he's also got, because Shane was on time, he donated $10. I was barely slid in here, JR, but thank you. So, yes, Georgia Bulldogs are leading right now $15. And I will say, brother, you know, this is my favorite part because.
Oh, wait, you skipped over the donation, Shane. Well, we got a shout out real quick, though. Wayfaring Farmer. He just got gifted a membership. Oh.
Welcome to the family,
Wafer.
Man, we're all over the place. I take one day off and we're all over the place. That's awesome. Hey, the reason I was saying I love the fall camp previews is because at the end of this will be the start of media days. And at the end of that will be the start of camps. And at the end of that will be college football. I'm telling you, it doesn't seem like it, but we are in the fast lane for 2025 season, and I am pumped up, brother. I am glad to see the season is upon us.
Yeah, last thing, and then I swear, we'll get into the Sooners. This is going to be all Sooners, Shane. Monkey, yeah. Cousin Monkey, who's that skinny dude? Oh, he's talking about you, Shane.
Hey, 72 pounds. I didn't weigh this morning, but yes, I am trying to get down to 100 by the time we get to media days, and it's been tough, man. I ain't going to lie. It's been absolutely tough here lately because apparently everybody wants to cook now that I'm on a diet, but I'm pumped up and I appreciate the kind words.
Well, speaking of cooking here, Shane.
Come on now.
Roll Tide.
Cousin Brad has come through with a $50 donation. So Alabama right now is the leading candidate, Shane, to get the fall camp preview series going tomorrow. But hey, we got plenty of time to get to that, Shane. Yeah. Let's dive into it. Oklahoma fall camp preview series. Briefly, we like to hit briefly. I mean, I know the Sooners are well aware, but maybe for anybody that's kind of forgotten, or maybe you're just now tuning in to the channel. Well, we went 6-7 last year, Shane. But you know, there were certainly highs and lows to the first year in the SEC, 2-6 conference record. Five losses were by double digits. Missouri and Navy were the only one score losses. And buddy, that Mizzou, I don't know that we'll ever live that one down or just how crazy that was. Cousin Shane was at that game, but that's a game every Sooner wants to forget. But, you know, again, we don't need to highlight this too much, but what stood out to you briefly, maybe on the Sooners, their debut season in the SEC?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of expectations coming in, but for me, now that we've had some time to kind of chew on it, I feel like the problem with Oklahoma were the marquee games. You know, when we saw the Tennessee game, we saw the Texas game, at times where they were very bad. And I feel like that's what kind of turned the nation against the Sooners. You know, now they redeemed themselves with Bama only to go down to LSU and kind of fall flat on their face again. So that was the, I guess, the big takeaway. But you mentioned the Mizzou game. That was that was a shitty game. Let's just call it like it was. Three quarters, it was unwatchable. I never want to relive that. But that last quarter, by gosh, it was explosive. It was exciting. And, man, it could have went the other way. Probably should have went the other way. And then Oklahoma's walking away with a 7-6 season with no offensive line, no wide receivers. You know, and maybe we're looking at this from a different angle. So I kind of feel like that was 24 bundled up as a season.
Yeah, and here's an updated look. Brett Venables, again, going into his fourth year, 2-6-7 seasons, including last year. He had the big 10-3 season 2 years ago. And then here's one of our new graphics, Shane, that I worked up. And again, I think these will look better and better as we get coaches that have actually coached longer in the SEC. But here's Venables' record against the SEC up to date. And when I did this, Shane, I said, by God, he runs the state of Alabama. You know, people don't think of that. 1-0 versus Bama, 1-0 versus Auburn, Texas 1-2, and then, of course, 0-1, Ole Miss, Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, and Missouri. But he's going to have an opportunity to flip that against every one of these damn teams because we got the same old schedule. You know what?
Yeah. That's one thing you can say about the laziness of the SEC. At least you get a chance to redeem yourself. Some of those away games are now at home.
That is absolutely true, Shane. All right, and then coaching changes, big one, Shane. Two new coordinators here, and that's why there's so much optimism going into 2025, because we got offensive coordinator Ben Arbuckle from Washington State. Of course, they got the quarterback. We'll get to that in just a minute. But Ben Arbuckle, who is this guy, Shane? He was the offensive coordinator the last 2 years at Washington State. And, oh, by the way, Shane, have you heard of this guy named Cam Ward? He's just the number one overall pick. He just won the damn Heisman. Well, Ben Arbuckle coached him before he went down to Miami. So this ain't a guy. I would be a little bit concerned, Shane, if this was just the John Mateer show and he's carrying this offensive coordinator and we're bringing him to Norman because we wanted John Mateer, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's probably true. But you could sit around and say, well, he developed Cam Ward, too. So 2-for-2 the last 2 years. Two outstanding quarterbacks, and he's going to get a third one again. Well, really the same guy, but three for three in terms of three seasons with outstanding quarterbacks. They averaged over 36 points per game last year, Shane. That was number 12 in the country, and over 31 points 2 years ago with Cam Ward. So the offense got even better after you lost the number one overall pick. So again, 29-year-old, he's very young offensive mind, but he's from, I believe, Texas. He's from that region, and he's got that Mike Leach influence, like all those high school coaches down there. They're all basically running the Mike Leach system, or at least in some capacity. It's not a true Mike Leach system, but this is a huge reason for optimism down in Norman.
Absolutely, and it's kind of like flipping a coin with those young kids. You know, I remember that what was the LSU guy, real young, they kept referencing him throughout the season. Then all of a sudden he's a hot commodity in the NFL. It's like somebody's going to get some credit for the offensive production that Oklahoma's actually going to have in 2025. And it may be Arbuckle here.
Mm-hmm. And then of course, defense coordinator said maybe the best in the damn country. Oh, it's just the head coach, Brett Venables, who helped a dynasty at Clemson. And last time I checked, Shane, I know they're blowing smoke up Clemson's ass these days, but it's unwarranted. But they have completely fallen off the map without Brett Venables, if you ask me, particularly on the defensive side of the football. Meanwhile, he took what was pretty Charmin soft Norman, Oklahoma defense. You know, that's what killed the previous coach, besides his god-awful brisket, was how soft and the lazy defense. Now they're one of the best in the conference, the toughest conference. Got Brent Venables calling the defense. That's got to give you optimism. And I just thought this was outstanding, Shane. We don't play a lot of clips. I'd like to introduce a clip if it's relevant. Why is Brent Venables taking over the defense? Well, let's let the man answer for himself.
I go back to my first year when Bill Snyder hired me on an interim basis. You ever been hired on an interim basis? Where basically said your job's on the line. I'm watching everything you do, and your first screw up, there's no guarantee. And I'm also going to pay you pennies. All right. Well, that was my first time, and I was so thankful. But I've literally had that mindset my entire career. Every game's that way. Every day I show up, something's on the line. My job's on the line. I've had that for 30 years. I'm going to hire you. I'm going to pay you $30,000, and I can't promise anything that you'll last past the summer. All right? That's literally what I was told. And I said, oh, thank you, God, thank you. And I've had the same mindset. And I believe because I've had that same mindset that I don't go like this and, oh, you know, everything's on the line. He's fighting for his job. You know, I've been fighting for my job every year. Like somebody's holding me under the water trying to drown me. And that's been my mindset. That's been my attitude when I come to work every day. So nothing's changing for me. Do we need to be better? You're damn right. Does your mindset got to change? Nope. And why am I going to call the defense? Because I'm good at it.
why is Shade co-host of the show? Because he's damn good at it. You know what?
I love it. That's the attitude you got to have, man. I mean, seriously, I hate when coaches come out here and they give us a whole pity party about that we didn't have time and stuff like that. You know, Venable, he could have done that. He could have sat up there and cried and moaned and bitched about the injuries and everything that went wrong for Oklahoma last year. But he's not doing that. He's getting out here and saying, you know what? I can fix this. And how am I going to fix it? Well, I'm going to take the reins. That's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, let's dive into what the Sooners got coming back just from last year's roster is what we're talking. We'll get to the transfer portal here in a minute. But offensive returning production, Shane, pretty high. 71% of last year's production is back on the offensive side of the football. And that ranks fourth in the SEC. So top four. Now, again, you could, you know, we got to be honest too and say, well, number four returning of an awful offense. Yeah. Maybe that's not the greatest thing, but again, I'd rather have it than not. Michael Hawkins is our leading returning passer. He had 783 passing yards last year. And here's where I think this will really help, Shane, is the rushing. Over 77% of the rushing yards are back from last season. Javonte Barnes had 577 yards. Taylor Tatum, who was the number one running back prospect in the country a year ago, 278 and nearly 5 yards per carry. And then Xavier Robinson, who ran wild on Alabama, he's back. And again, we got a transfer coming in here. So we're very, very strong at running back. Receiving, this to me is the big question mark for Oklahoma's offense. Deion Burks, we love that guy, but he only played, I believe, four games last year. He had 31 catches, 245 yards, 3 touchdowns. He could be a huge, huge player this year, but we got to see it. Mm-hmm. Their 32% returning receiving is 10th in the SEC. Only two of the top five receivers from last year are back. Now, the offensive line was a travesty. You could say that's the biggest question mark as well. But we're returning 71% of our snaps on the offensive line, and we added a bunch of portal players there to shore that up. Mm-hmm. 71% snaps is number four in the SEC, and we're bringing back, Shane, five offensive linemen that had over 500 snaps, including a couple with well over 500. So, again, offensive line, I hate when people say, well, literally can't get any worse. Because I've heard that about some defenses and some offenses, and they did get worse. But I just think with the offensive line coach, with the continuity coming back, with transfers incoming that we'll get to here in a minute, I think the offensive line still, you know, a little bit of a question mark in terms of, you know, how elite will they be?
Yeah.
But I think they'll be solid enough to have a lot of success in Norman on the offensive side of the football this fall.
Yeah, I mean, you can't replicate experience, you know what I'm saying? And it's not like, you know, these guys took the world by, you know, there was some struggles, there were some growing pains, there was a whole bunch of that last year. But I'm telling you, brother, experience is important and continuity is important. And that's one thing that this front five has not had, was the same front five the entire season. So, you know, if we hit the ground running, we stay healthy, knock on wood. I'm not disheartened by the offensive line, but I do like the other production that's around them. You mentioned the receivers, you mentioned the running back. You know, a strong running game will definitely help out all facets of this offense.
Mm-hmm. Now let's get to the defense, Shane. Returning production on a defensive side of the football. We lost some key leaders, but we are returning over 51% of the total production on the defensive side of the football. That is 10th in the SEC. So in the bottom half of the league, we return 54.5% of the tackles from last year, 55% of the tackles for loss, 44% of the interceptions, and 46% of the passes defended. But I think here's where we're really going to be the strength potentially of this entire team. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the defensive line, bringing back nearly 60% of the entire snaps on the defensive line, are back from last year. So again, this is Brent Venables' baby. You know, I'd like this number to be a little bit higher than number 10th in the SEC, but I by no means am really worried about this unit. In fact, we just got a question. We can handle maybe questions at the end, Shane. Someone's saying, wait, could Oklahoma be the best defense in the SEC? I don't know if I'd go quite that far.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you they'll be probably the top third defense in the SEC. And for all I know, they could be a top two or three defense in this conference.
Yeah, and I wanted to give a shout out to General's Booty for giving a donation. Boomer! I do like it. I like the return to production, especially that defensive front. I mean, if Venables, like, if you had true serum and said, okay, which side of the, you know, what position would you like to have the most returning for? I guarantee he's going to say defensive line, and that's exactly what they have.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, and Cameron says Mike's on water tonight. The bourbon worked well for him last night. It did. I just can't do it every day. I mean, it wrecked. It started a downward spiral that I barely recovered from. You know what?
I know. Yeah. Welcome back, man. Oh, jeez.
So let's get to the portal, Shane. Again, you know, this was wild. I don't really understand. Again, I'm not into the portal ranking business, but two different class rankings here, right? On three ranks Oklahoma's Hall as the number 51 in the country.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, 24/7 has got it as the 12th. So
we'll take that one.
Yeah. I think if you're a Sooner fan, you obviously say, yeah, we're the 12th best. But of course, led by John Mateer, I kind of rank these guys in terms of just the impact I think they'll make on the football team this season. Jaden Ott, the outstanding running back from Cal. How about this? I want to highlight John Mateer here for a second, and we can come back to this, but I mean, his statistics are incredible, Shane. Over 3,000 passing yards, 9 yards per pass attempt. We just had Will Miles on. He was previewing Florida, and he said this is the key stat that you should measure any quarterback from, 9 yards per attempt. And I believe that would have ranked, you know, the top 10 in the country. And I think only two passers in the conference, at least SEC, were better than that last year. He accounted for 44 touchdowns. No one in college football accounted for that many touchdowns last season. Washington State single season record holder in rushing attempts, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns by a quarterback. So this guy can move, Shane. I don't think a lot of people know his 826 rushing yards. He is a true dual threat. And usually when people say dual threat, that means, well, he can't pass that well. he was number 22 in the country in passing yards. So, again, this guy can kind of do it all, and he is obviously going to be kind of the engine that drives Oklahoma this fall.
Jeez, did Knoxville even call this kid once? You know, I love the dual threat side, in my opinion, is my favorite part because – like you said, we've got a couple of guys in the league last year and this year that, you know, we know they're blessed with their mobility, but sometimes they lean too hard on that. And if you can just turn on some highlights of this kid, it's the opposite. Like you said, he's looking to throw first and he's not afraid to run the damn football. This is a hell of a get. This was probably, in fact, my opinion, maybe the best portal pickup this offseason for an impact, you know, if you're looking for impact, especially.
Yeah, shout out Cousin Brodo, Shane. He says Oklahoma's going to have the best defense in the state. Oh, come on. That was too good not to share. I don't even
let them enjoy their show, you know?
But how about Jaden Ott? This is a name for folks that don't know, Shane. Mm-hmm. Over 3,000 all-purpose yards the last 3 years at Cal. He only played 10 games last year. He was very banged up. He had 385 yards, but 2 years ago led the Pac-12 with over 1,300 rushing yards. So, I mean, he's a game breaker of game breakers. And again, I thought running back was perhaps Oklahoma's strongest position on the offense already, and that was before even counting this transfer. So very high on what he can do. Derek Simmons, again, he comes from Western Carolina, an offensive lineman, so you might say, well, hell, he ain't going to play, right? Mm. Cole Kublik loves this guy. He thinks he's an impact starter and one of the best offensive line prospects in the entire country. So keep your eye out on him. Kendall Daniels was a captain over at Oklahoma State. We got him to jump to the good side of Oklahoma, and we're loaded up on receivers and offensive line, which is exactly what we need. And Marvin Jones, we'll talk about him in just a second. He projects as a potential starter on the defensive end. So they brought in 22. These are just 10 of the transfers I wanted to highlight, but I think this is one of the better transfer portal classes we're going to talk about during our fall camp preview series.
Well, and to the address of needs, it wasn't just, you know, some of these teams just cast a wide net and get as many bodies as they can. But, you know, we just talked about how bad the offensive line was. Well, let's go get some. We just talked about how thin the wide receiver room got. Well, let's go get some. And you know, one name down there at the bottom, Satania. Now, him and Dion out there, good God, good luck catching those two. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Really like lightning in a bottle. So there's going to be a lot more speed on this football team, especially on the outside. But, yeah, I just like the address that they made.
Mm-hmm. And I saw someone in the comments share, this is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of schedule did John Mateer play? Oh, probably just the same damn schedule to Cam Ward, who just went number one overall and tore up college football plate. You know what I mean? Like, if you could play, you could play.
Yeah.
I think that's just a weak-ass excuse for people. But let's go over the projected offensive depth chart here for the Oklahoma Sooners, Shane. The guys in bold are essentially returning starters. Mm-hmm. And then the guys in the crimson, those are incoming transfers. And then the non-bolded guys are just guys that were on the team, contributors, but not necessarily starters last season. So what I like to do here is always run down which position groups, how I'd kind of rank them. And believe it or not, Shane, again, I very much like the depth and the potential star power at running back.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go quarterbacks because John Mateer, because I think of what he can do. Backup Michael Hawkins, you know, again, he was far from elite last year, but he was a true freshman. Yep. And he won us a game on the road. Find me another SEC team that their backup quarterback has gone on the road and won in this league. I don't know that exists. They added a transfer, Shane, Cole Gonzalez. Remember this name. If I ever need a bit of pitch, Shane, he was a finalist. He played at Western Carolina, so, you know, a lower division. Finalist for the Walter Payton Award given to that's essentially their Heisman Trophy. He was a finalist for it last year.
Yeah.
And then they got a freshman, Jet New, that apparently they really like. So I like where we're at with quarterback, but number two is obviously running back with inserting Jaden Nott into this lineup with Javonta Barnes, Taylor Tatum, Xavier Robinson. I think we have one of the best, deepest running back rooms in the conference right here. And then I'll throw you a little wild card here, Shane. Again, I know the offensive line was a train wreck last year.
Yeah.
I'm going offensive line next. So I just like all the guys that had experience last year. I like that we're having transfers coming in here. Again, I mean, look at this projected depth chart. I mean, nearly all these offensive linemen had over 500 snaps last year. So
yeah.
I think that is really, really going to help them on the field this fall in Norman. And then I continue... I'm not sitting here really doubting these receivers.
Yeah.
But we got to see it, man. We've been hyping up Deion Burks for a good while. So I'm putting receivers and tight ends. And this year I'm putting them together, Shay. So you can't make fun of me for putting tight ends last every year. I'm putting receivers and tight ends. We're bringing in a bunch of transfers. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talent here, but most of it is unproven in the SEC level. So I got to put the receivers and tight ends last. And you know, that they may very well dictate how successful we are on offense this fall.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And you know, starting with the quarterbacks, I think if you look at all the SEC quarterbacks that started the year and ended the year, a very, very high percentage of them did not play every single game, you know, because of injuries, because of other things. I believe having Hawkins, it's not the only time you're going to hear him is on a depth chart. I guarantee you there's going to be some roles for him on this football field. But even if John were to get banged up, it's nice knowing that you have a quarterback that has the ability, like you said, to go on the road and get a win in the SEC. That's not easy to do.
Right. All right. So let's flip over to the defensive side of the football, Shane. And man, again, I'm seeing a lot of bold here, right? So
yeah.
I think the defense is going to be very solid, including Shane. I want to shout out again, Cole Kublik. I respect his opinion over, I mean, aside from you, Shane, but aside from you, like, there's almost nobody I respect.
There's only two bald guys you trust, and I'm one of them.
And Cole Kublik's got this as the number one defensive line in the SEC. Our guy, Steven, the assassin, Lassen, he's got it. He said at worst, number two. So number one, number two, right there on the defensive line. So I have to go defensive line. It's absolutely loaded. They're so loaded, Shane. They got five stars as backups right now. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're going to be very, very solid on the defensive line. I would say next position group, due to a lot of the experience they have, I'm going to go the secondary with guys like Eli Bowen and Robert Spears Jennings, and Kendall Doby is a guy that he got hurt in the Tennessee game, lost for the season. He's a potential star in the making. And the fact that we're bringing in a guy like Kendall Daniels, who was a captain and a multi-year starter, to kind of be insurance in case Dolby's not ready to go. I really, really like this secondary. They didn't bring in many guys via the transfer portal in the secondary. And Brent Venables said down at the spring meetings, that's because we got so much faith in a lot of these guys that we got coming back. A lot of them may have not started, but they have played some football here, and they're going to be called upon to really make a huge impact. And again, that's not to say that the linebackers are weak or anything. Kip Lewis had two pick sixes last year, including the one at Auburn that won of the game. So we've got some good players at linebacker as well. It's not to diminish that position, but really overall, I really like this defense for Oklahoma.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, like you said, the defensive front's my favorite part. And that's why I think that they don't take too many steps back. I know there's a lot of guys, a lot of great, great dudes going into the NFL, but that's what Oklahoma's going to do, especially Venables' team. So they're going to keep loading, and they'll be fine there. Man, and I then, like a cheetah spot. That's one position I never got to play in high school, you know?
You were never the cheetah?
No. Maybe in school, you know, copying a test or something. But
last but not least, these guys are certainly important, Shane. Kicker and punter.
Yeah.
Bringing in some transfers. Again, I think it's the new wave of football. We are never again at a fine program like Oklahoma or any of these others. Are we going to rely on a freshman with so much on the line? So what do? We bring in UTSA kicker Tate Sandel, Shane. He kicked made 19 of 23 field goals last year, including a 54-yarder. So we should be secure at kicker. And same deal at punter, Shane. Kennesaw State punter Jacob Ulrich is in. 75 punts last year, 46-yard average. And how about this, Shane? A long of 77. This guy can damn boot it. I don't know if he's Australian, but he could probably boot the damn ball to Australia. You know what?
Absolutely. 77. That's a long damn kick, man.
So, hey, all right.
Can't even hit a golf ball that far. No, I'm just kidding.
Before we get into Shay's favorite part, the schedule breakdown and picking the games and all this, I also like to say biggest questions heading into fall camp. And I got a number of them, Shane. Let me know what you think. I think the biggest question of all is how quickly Ben Arbuckle and John Mateer can get this offense rolling. Because again, we're going to get to the schedule in just a minute, but we got Michigan week two. We got Auburn week four. Those are certainly winnable games, but you're not going to, I don't know if you win either one of them if the offense resembles anything like it did last season, if that makes sense. We don't have to be scoring 40 points per game the first month, but we're going to have to get into the high 20s and maybe the 30s to win those football games. So I think that is kind of the biggest question mark for Oklahoma entering fall camp.
No, there are several good questions to be asking about this Oklahoma football team, but that one would definitely be toward the top for me as well.
Yeah, and really, I mean, it's the whole offense. Is the offensive line finally SEC ready? That's good because hell, John Mattier could be, you know, all this ass kissing that people do for Arch Manning. Maybe we should be doing it to John Mattier. He could be that good. It won't matter if they can't block. You know what I mean? So offensive line, that's paramount. Bill Beatonbow, apparently God's gift to offensive line coach. I got to see it this year. You know what I mean? Yeah. No more excuses that we lost everybody. We're bringing in all these transfers. I got to see it this year on the offensive line. And then I've already kind of highlighted the receivers and the unknowns there. And how about leadership on defense? Who are the leaders now with some of our best players gone to the NFL on that side of the football? We got a ton of guys coming back. Who steps up in that leadership void? That is a question for me. And then last but not least, how will this team respond to adversity? Because I think it's easy to assume that'll happen, right?
Yeah.
But when you're bringing in 20-plus transfers, where's the chemistry? A lot of these guys have not been battle-tested as a unit. They've been battle-tested.
Yeah.
But maybe not in the SEC and certainly not together. I think that is like an underlining issue that a lot of people don't highlight, and really how can you till it gets here to the fall? But all these teams that are being assembled via the portal, and I'm not saying Oklahoma is exclusively via the portal, but when you insert all these portal guys, how are they going to fit into the culture, to the locker room, to everything? That is a big question I have for Oklahoma.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I do worry a little bit because Venables can come out and say, you know, he's not stressed, he's not under pressure, but you know, you can say that, but kids feel it. And if there's a couple of losses that maybe they get early in the season, this thing could become a little bit of a mess. You know what I'm saying? This is one of those slippery slopes if you're talking schedulings. And I do think Oklahoma will be a better football team this year, but I do worry a little bit about, you know, a missed game here or there.
And I've since added, Shane, I've updated these odds to win the SEC 24-1, odds to win the national championship 60-1 with the current over under win total, Shane, at 6.5. So let's jump into, before we get to the predictions.
Yeah.
Win, loss, or toss for each Oklahoma game. And I'm doing these, Shane, as kind of like the average SEC fan, knowledgeable fan.
Yeah.
Win, loss, or toss. Not necessarily as a Oklahoma diehard, but as a knowledgeable SEC fan, here's how I project the win, loss, or toss. Okay. I got 5 games that should be wins, no question. Illinois State at home, at Temple, Kent State at home, Ole Miss at home, and Shane's beloved Missouri Tigers at home. Do you have any objection to those 5 games? No doubt should be wins.
Should be wins. Just the Ole Miss one. I'd probably have that one as a toss. Mm-hmm. I think you're good on the other ones.
Okay, so I've got 5 toss-ups, so Shane would have 6. Yeah. I got Michigan at home as a toss-up, Auburn at home as a toss-up, at South Carolina as a toss-up, at Tennessee as a toss-up. Don't correct me on that one, Shane. And then LSU at home as a toss-up. Any of those that you disagree with?
No.
Really? And then 2 games unlikely to win, Texas and at Alabama.
Obviously, with the rival, you kind of want to put that as a toss-up. But just, again, what I've seen last year up to this point, uh-huh, I think you're okay there with Texas. And Alabama, you could argue, hey, they beat them, but it is going to be in Tuscaloosa. So I think Vegas would tell you right now that they're probably a 10-point favorite down there in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're not going to waste anybody's time here, Shane, right? First game here. Come on, get the hell out of here. This is a pick your score type game, right?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's see if this works. I'm trying something new here. I don't know if this will work. Yeah!
Oh, nice! Look at that!
All right, so the second game, though. Now, this one truly does concern me, Michigan. And it's not so much that I think Michigan's that good. Hell, I thought they were going to get their ass whooped in the bowl game last year, Shane. I thought they were going to get their ass whooped against Ohio State, Shane. Yet, they find ways to win ball games. They added the number one quarterback, Bryce Underwood. How ready will he be? Norman, Oklahoma, week two. And how ready, again, will John Mateer and Oklahoma be? I have this truly as a toss-up. And talking to guys, you know, like George Stoya, who's thinks this is the most important game of the early slate for the Sooners, is he's really kind of got me thinking that this could be a little bit more competitive game than it should be. What's your thoughts on Oklahoma hosting Michigan week two?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because again, we've got all the pieces here and we're thinking, hey, this is a football team. I like Oklahoma's chance to go in there and do this, but that's just assuming everything works, that the offensive line just, there's cohesion, that John Mateer just hits the ground running with Arbuckle, and the receiver, you know, there's so much that the defense didn't slide too much. So there's a lot riding on this one. The good thing is, I guess the blessing, if you will, is the returning production that you do have. Usually those are the teams that are a little bit more competitive, and I think they're in a better shape than Michigan will be. So I like their odds here. I really do. So I'd like Oklahoma in this game.
Yeah, we're 2-0 right off the bat. Come on now. Now again, they do another thing, just to highlight this quickly. From what I understand, they got a pretty good defensive front. So again, if Oklahoma ain't ready on the offensive line, this is upset potential. Now week three, we're going to Temple. No need to break that one down, right, Shane?
No.
3-0, come on, Dan, Oklahoma. But now the Jackson Arnold return. Yeah. You know, this is going to be pretty hyped. I know Shane's in love with Hugh Freeze and what they're doing on the plane. So, again, could he be right? Absolutely. I don't think there's any Oklahoma fan that has any respect for Jackson Arnold. And I think they should, Shane. Remember, he kicked Alabama's ass. So, again, I wouldn't put all last year on him. I certainly wouldn't. But do I put confidence in old Hugh Freeze to win on the road in this conference? No, I do not, Shane. Come on, we're 4-0. But again, this is going to be a tricky game, and I don't think it's like a given that Oklahoma gets Auburn. I think it'll be more competitive than Michigan.
Yeah.
I haven't fully bought into Michigan. I mean, how could you? How could you? Those damn cheat. I don't think they'll be cheating in Norman, no. So they probably don't have much of a shot. But Auburn does have a really good defense. I guess Oklahoma's offense, that's going to be a hell of a battle.
Yeah, that would be a really good game, honestly. And you know, we're doing this optimistically, right? And mm-hmm. I mean, not so much realistically, because I do think realistically this could be a true coin toss football game. And optimistically, though, I do think I'm basing it on the offense is exactly who we thought they are. The defense is exactly who we thought they would be. If that all hits, yeah, there's no reason Oklahoma doesn't start the season 4-0. You know what I'm saying? So optimistically, I'd be crazy to say that this would be a loss.
What, maybe give a how confident are you in that, though? I mean, are you like 90%, 80%, 70%.
Well, again, it's based on factors coming into this one. I really would say this is a 50-50 football game.
Right.
But being at home, you know, catch it. Hugh Freeze lose these types of games. You know what I'm saying? Like he'll pull off an upset here or there, but a game that is supposed to be close or supposed to be a win, he'll find a way to lose it most likely. And Oklahoma, I just don't think will do that. This is a team that's already been extremely tested early in the season. So yeah, I think they're moving right along here. So I would say 65%.
Shane, you said Hugh Freeze tough to win road games, right?
Yeah.
He didn't win many home games either. Come on. all right, now Kent State, one of the worst teams in the damn country. Get the hell out of here. 5-0. I think if we get to 4-0, we're cruising to 5-0. No objections to that, right?
No, none at all. Ain't and that, then talk about a sweet talk about a sweet moment to go from that shit show we saw 24 to now we're sitting here with our brand new quarterback and her GM, and we're sitting there 5-0, man. Got a bye week and everything. That will be the greatest bye week of your life if that happens.
Yeah, Brodo, excellent point. Hugh Freeze doesn't lose the games. His quarterback,
yes, quarterback does. Yeah. Now he's got Oklahoma's quarterback.
All right, so then we get into Red River, Shane.
Yeah.
If Texas could beat Ohio State, which I don't want to tip my hand on that preview. Tune in for that one. But if they could beat Ohio State, Shane, they'll probably be undefeated in this one. They also got a game at Florida, which I don't think is going to be easy by any means. But, man, could you imagine Oklahoma, Texas, undefeated, yeah. College game day?
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't get any bigger than that, would it?
Undefeated, we're there. If that happens, we're drinking wax beers and corn dogs, and we're going to be talking about this game all week. So, yes, I think this will be a massive, massive show out.
Right. But, again, Venables.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to throw up his, not that Oklahoma fans need to know, but he's got a losing record against Texas. And, you know, last year was non-competitive. I believe 2 years ago was not very competitive. I think they were down to their, like, ninth quarterback in that game. So they were able to get him. They got him 2 years ago. Our buddy Steven Lasso's got Texas winning the national championship. Arch, God's gift of football over there. I don't know, Shane. This one may be too tough to overcome.
Yeah.
I didn't know where you were going.
I thought you were about to throw something out there because everything you're saying is correct. You know, I can't believe Steven went all in on the Longhorns. What's crazy? I thought he was the smart one of the show. But I'm just saying this, Mike. If there were ever a year to get it right, this is it. I do think that the teams match well. And we can't sit here and say, well, I hope everything works great for Oklahoma, because Texas has just as many moving pieces, if not more, over there. And we can't just assume it's going to be a great football team.
Right.
However, you have to pick one here. And even optimistically, I cannot give Oklahoma the win. So, unfortunately, I've got them getting their first loss here.
Yeah, this is kind of blasphemy for this type of program, Shane.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the horns up going into Red River. There, baby. Oklahoma gets it done. I've already predicted it, Shane. Texas getting her ass whooped by Oklahoma in a Red River. Like you said, it's a rivalry, man. Crazy shit happens. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't rule it out. That's the crazy part. It's not like we're going into this thing and I said Oklahoma has no shot. No, I think it could be a really, really good football game. But again, I gotta lean with the team that I've seen more promise from. So
I'm gonna take your Sooner Shane off. I'm gonna take that and make it Longhorn Shane.
Realistic Shane, how about that?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Again, I think it would be an upset.
Yeah,
but that's historically, again, I know this is like a new rivalry to us, but I've studied it, Shane. The favorite, this is a game you don't want to be the favorite in, you know what I mean? So again, it could be number one, it could be number two. If they're both undefeated, they're probably number one versus number two showdown. I think it'll be one hell of a ball game. And I don't know. I believe in the voodoo of that game. You know what?
Yeah. No, it who knows? You know, it's like the Iron Bowl. You just never know.
Right. Now, here's the deal though, Shane. Even a couple years ago, I don't know if it was right after the Texas game or the following week, but Oklahoma's lost that before. I mean, it's such a wild game. You're going on the road, Columbia, South Carolina, and South Carolina whooped your ass last year. I mean, it was over after 3 minutes.
Yeah.
On your field.
Yeah.
So, I'm starting to buy into South Carolina. I'm trying not to go too homer over here. I think it's going to be, especially if Oklahoma's undefeated, this is going to be a night game, I think. This the first loss. Give me a loss here. I just think it's so damn hard to win in this conference on the road. I don't think there's any shot in hell Oklahoma's, just going stampeding through the conference.
Well, brother, if they are I mean, if they got five wins out of the gate, there's no reason they can't win in Columbia, you know. So I
right, but you could say the same thing about Ole Miss playing Kentucky. You know, I mean, does it make any sense that they beat the shit out of Georgia but lose to Kentucky and Florida?
Hey, that's your opinion. I'm just saying. I didn't bust your balls because you're wrong about the Texas game, but I feel like this is like optimistically, there's not a Sooner in here that thinks they can't beat South Carolina. Even after what they saw last year, it was embarrassing. It was almost like there was a jinx out there, you know, like somebody had a voodoo doll and was screwing with the football game or something, you know. There was just some dark cloud over that one, and I'm just going to pretend it didn't even happen, even though it did. But it's not the same South Carolina team either. Just pretend it like we're going to go over here and just face the same Gamecock defense. We're not. That defense is not going to be near as good as it was. So I'm a little bit more down on South Carolina. I'm a little bit higher on Oklahoma. I think they win this game. Optimistically, I don't think it's close.
Whoa. I forgot you hate Shane Beamer. Okay. How about Ole Miss? That was another one. It was not nearly a blowout. It was a lot more competitive football game. I just don't know what the hell to make of Ole Miss, given all their new pieces. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to downgrade their quarterback, Austin Simmons, but I think it's somewhat comical that these Ole Miss fans think we just lost a first-round pick to the NFL at the quarterback position and we're going to upgrade.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand that logic at all. Now that doesn't mean that probably has happened at maybe like Alabama or, you know, some schools like that. But, I think we're going to be far worse on the offensive side of the football. And I don't think there's any shot in hell because Ole Miss was arguably a top two or three defense in the conference last year.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're anything close to that either. I think they'll be probably, I would guarantee probably top 10 on defense, but not maybe much higher than that. So I don't even know how big of a threat Ole Miss in Norman. Again, if this was in Oxford, maybe different story. I like Sooners to bounce back here. Give me a win over them Ole Miss Rebels.
Man, I'd love to agree with you, Mike, but this is, I mean, I'm down on Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. And I said that this should be a toss. And toss, I want to kind of favor the team that we're talking about because, again, I'm looking at it optimistically. But I don't know, man. You look at Lane Kiffin, even optimistically, I don't know. He finds ways to win with whoever he has. At quarterback, running back, defense, doesn't matter. You can't argue with what he is good at doing. And for some reason, I feel like he still has Oklahoma's number. So I think this one's going to be another loss for me, Mike.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Shane's trying to get Lane Kiffin to our booth at Media Days. That's all this is. So apologize.
Come on, Lane. we'll do some yoga later.
Now, again, at Tennessee, Shane, good night. Particularly after this will be fourth SEC game in 4 weeks. Neyland Stadium, one of the toughest places in all the country to play. This was a battle last year. Tennessee went to your field and took it to you. But this is a different Tennessee team. I think Tennessee's taking a step back. I think Oklahoma's taking a step forward. I certainly don't think this will be easy. I think this will be, you know, one of the most underrated games perhaps on the schedule. But I don't know. I think, call me crazy, Shane. Anil, I even went to Tennessee.
You bastard.
I'm giving this one to Oklahoma. I think they go on the road, get revenge. Josh Heupel, you know, he screws this one up because he's so lost in the thought of Oklahoma coming to his town now. I think Oklahoma squeezes by Tennessee here.
Josh Heupel ain't losing a damn game because he worked over there, played over there. It's like, no, there's always going to be emotional ties to this football game as long as they meet, but you know, Oklahoma had a chance last year, and I feel like they blew it. And going to Knoxville is a tough. I mean, the only saving grace is if I'm a Sooner fan, again, that's the way I'm coming at this as a Sooner perspective. I don't think Tennessee has a quarterback. And now, say what you want, Aguilar may be the great. You know, we may have moved on to another quarterback at this point. the pieces that are around, you know, they're still going to have a tough, tenacious defense. It's still going to be an electric environment, a tough place to win. Neyland is not an easy place to win, even though Oklahoma's done it before. I just think that when it comes down to this football game, Mike, optimistically, I think you got a shot against Tennessee based off quarterback alone. Now, again, I may be wrong, and when we get on the Tennessee preview, I'm going to go ahead and let you know they're going to whoop Oklahoma's ass. But right now, I'm going to have to give Oklahoma the win on here as well.
Right. Yeah, just too many unknowns with the Vols right now, right? Like, if you could guarantee me that they're going to be, you know, they have been a top two rusher in the SEC the last 3 years. Guarantee me they're top rusher again.
Yes.
With four new offensive linemen and losing the SEC offensive player of the year at running back. You know, that's quite a bit to ask. And of course, quarterback, like you said, I mean, we don't even know who the starting quarterback will be by that game, much less week one. You know what I mean? So it's just, I don't know. Now, again, I am very high. Looks like we're going to be doing Alabama. So I'm getting ready for Alabama next tomorrow, Shade. But I think Alabama is the team to beat in the conference this year. I think, you know, they're going to be pretty pissed off. Good news for the Sooners. They got 2 weeks to prepare for this matchup. But I think Alabama is going to have one of the better defenses. I think we finally get to see this Kalen DeBoer offense. I don't think anybody is winning in Tuscaloosa next year. I just don't. I got to be honest with you, Shane. So I'm giving that one to Alabama. So right there is a second loss for the Sooners in my book.
Yep. I'm right there with you. It's going to be a tough one. Got the, like you said, the bye week. There is going to be a lot riding on this football game if everything's going the way it's supposed to. But I just, too much firepower on both sides of the football. Tough place to win. You just look at historical. They do not lose a lot in Tuscaloosa, so I don't think they do it again this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then we got one of the most heated rivalries. It's not a rivalry, apparently. Mizzou coming to town, Shane. Oh, man. Oh, buddy. Wouldn't this be for Missouri fans? I mean, they're playing Kansas this year. If they win that game, this is probably number two on their bucket list, wins they want the most. Just given the fact that it's in Norman for a fan base that doesn't respect you, I do think this could be one hell of a football game. I really do. And at this point in time, if I'm right, Shane, Oklahoma's fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah.
And don't forget Missouri, their schedule, they very well could be fighting for their playoff lives. Because I think they can beat everybody on their schedule. But Alabama will be tough. A&M will be tough. So let's just assume, again, a lot of assumptions. We'll get to Missouri eventually, but they're probably sitting there with two losses as well. And last year, no team with three losses got in. So I think this is a playoff elimination game. I think it's a game that goes down to the wire. And I think this is a game Missouri wants more than Oklahoma.
Yeah. Do they get it?
They don't know, Shane. They don't get it. I forgot to upload the thing. But Oklahoma's going to stop. I don't know. But I think they'll beat Missouri maybe by a touchdown in Norman.
Similar to Tennessee, it's a lot of question marks on the defense and the quarterback situation. You know, I can't argue with what I saw last year. Even a down Oklahoma football team went to Columbia, gave it a damn chance, brother. I mean, they were there and found a way to lose this thing. Now, does it change this year when Mizzou goes down there? Because you're right. I do think that they want it more than the Sooners do. And if they do figure out that quarterback room, who knows? Mizzou could come down there and get them another win. But optimistically, I don't think the Sooners give two thoughts to Mizzou fans right now or the Mizzou football team. In fact, this year they'll be talking about 12 games. I would say 7, 8, maybe 9th game is the one that they're talking about Mizzou. Like if you're just asking order of ones they want to win. So I hate to say it, you're going to have to keep doing it, Mizzou. You're going to have to keep beating them for this game to be relevant. And unfortunately, optimistically, I don't think Sooners lose this one.
Hey, shout out cousin Jason. Shaney says, if OU goes 6-0, Mike's got to ride the meanest bull in the rodeo after the Red River shootout. What do you cousins think? I do appreciate the $5, Jason, but it's gonna take a lot more than $5 to get me on one of them. You know what?
Do you remember who was the coach? Your boy used to coach up there at Arkansas. We talked
Chad
to
Morris?
No. The one that rode the bull and we were talking to Pittman about it because I can't get believe.
Oh, Barry
helmet.
Odom.
Yeah, Barry. So even with a helmet and everything, your ass ain't getting on one, right?
Well, I don't know if we could film it and for some content, maybe that's the way to do it. You know what?
I don't know if I'd let you, man. I don't know.
Yeah, there's got to be the meanest. Like I'm like total. I'm out of shape. The one that could potentially kill me. No, I won't do that. But maybe like one of the weakest ones that could hurt me, but won't kill me. I could do something like that. You know what?
I love the rodeo. I've been to a few of them growing up, not a diehard cowboy or anything like that, but I would give anything to see you get on one, but then I would be like, no, because there's no way I could do the production that you put on here. So who's going to do the graphics if you're not here, Mike?
Nah, I don't know. All right. Hey, last one, Shane, LSU again, call me crazy, Shane.
Crazy.
I may change my mind when we do the LSU one, but I don't know. I'm just not on the hype train. I think LSU will be very good, and I'm not saying this is going to be a damn cakewalk by any means, but what happens if LSU has say two or three losses up to this point already, or maybe even more? I mean, they're playing at Clemson. They're playing at Ole Miss. They're playing at Alabama. They got that Florida game that I think looms so large. I mean, but for all I know, Brian Kelly, his ass could be gone by this point in time. I think there's a lot of reasons why Oklahoma catching LSU in the finale here could be excellent, excellent news for the Sooners. Again, this I don't think there's a shot you're like blowing them out or anything.
Right.
This is still a quality team. If this was in Death Valley, I'm riding with LSU. It's not. Give me Oklahoma, Shane. 10-2, optimistic outlook for Oklahoma. And at 10-2, they would punch their ticket to the college football playoff. What's your thoughts on Oklahoma LSU?
Well, Mike, I can't get out here and tell you how great LSU is going to be and then say, you know what? Oklahoma can beat them. Can they? Yes, absolutely. Who knows if Coach Kelly trips out of the gate week two, week three, week one, this is a team that may implode. You just never know what's going to happen by the end of the season, but even optimistically, I do not think this is a year that they get. I mean, if I were being optimistic, I thought they would have got them last year just because of the big win. LSU was kind of down and out, but it looked like two different football teams out there, and I think that's what we're going to have in 25. I got to go with LSU here, so I'm going to give their third loss.
Okay, so 9-3.
Yeah. You had, what, 10-2?
10-2, completely ceiling, optimistically.
Right. Yeah.
I think you, I guess so. I thought you gave him four losses, but that makes sense. 9-3, that still, again, if you're sitting here 9-3 after going 6-7,
yeah,
that is a major, major step forward, and you're building potentially to something special with John Mateer. I believe he's got 2 years to play potentially. That would be absolutely huge, Shane. Now, we also like to do this. Most important games. Mm-hmm. And again, we could sit here and say, I mean, obviously, you know, Texas won, LSU, Bama, all that. But I'm looking more in terms of which games are the most critical to have a successful season as we're looking at it today. So this is how I rank them, Shane. You let me know if it's any different for you. But for me, number one, it's got to be Auburn.
Yeah.
It's your first conference game. It's at home. And I realize, you know, it's kind of confusing. I put Michigan number two. That's earlier. But how many times, Shane, have we seen a team drop a game early in the season, particularly non-conference, and now with this expanded playoff, it doesn't really kill you.
Yeah,
even losing to Auburn is not going to kill you, but I just think with what you got coming up, I think if you're dropping to Auburn, you're going to drop a lot more games. Because personally, I'm not a huge believer in Auburn. I'm not saying they're going to be horrible, but give me Auburn number one, Michigan number two. Both of those are at home, and then at Tennessee. And the main reason Tennessee is because I know how hard it is to win on the road in this conference. Maybe you could switch that out for South Carolina, but I think as of today, I think their most winnable game on the road right now is Tennessee, and I'm not counting Temple there. I'm talking strictly SEC.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you included Michigan and Auburn, because I felt like, and you could flip flop those. I just feel like the first four games of the season is pivotal for this football team to capitalize on momentum and getting going, because if you trip on one or both of those, the season's wrecked, man. I hate to say it, but if you can't beat Auburn, you can't beat Tennessee. You can't beat LSU. You can't beat Ole Miss. I just don't see it happening. Now, again, you hit those two, then all of a sudden we start looking at the ceiling as an opportunity here. I could argue the three, Tennessee, that's a very, very important game. I think the Ole Miss one would be a very, very important game because it's at home. The South Carolina trap between the Texas and Ole Miss, and right before you get Tennessee and Bama, that is also a crucial game. But I can't really argue with the third one. You could pick any of those five teams from October 11th to November 15th, and I'd agree with you there. It's the first two, though. I would almost like to list one of those twice. That's how important September is, because if you don't, then all this facade of Mateer's the savior, and you know, this is a new Oklahoma, all that goes right out the window. And guess what? We're not watching you anymore, because you lose that momentum early in the season, then it's shot toward the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I think you make a hell of a point there, Shane. Again, so I've got optimistically Oklahoma going 10-2, reaching the college football playoff. Shane's got them 9-3, optimistically. And even with this gauntlet, Shane, 9-3 very well could get you in the college football playoff. I don't think that completely rules you out. You'd probably be one of the last teams, if not the last team out in. But, damn, fighting for that after last season, I think most Sooners would take that if you promised them that today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe we should give them time. You know, I think one of the biggest hires, that Nagy hire we talked about early, this is, they're building something special over there. Just the movements they made in one offseason is impressive. If you come out with a 9-3, 10-2 regular season, shit, Oklahoma's not just back. They're on top, son. But if they lose to Auburn, they're getting them out of here. You know?
All right. So, hey, I think that's going to do it, Shane. The big donation today, shout out Cousin Brad. He gave us $50. What a guy. Cousin Brad, we appreciate you. So next episode, Shane, we're going to be previewing them Alabama Crimson Tide Ball Camp Preview Series. Any other thoughts before we hop off the line?
No, man, I love it. I love it. This is one of my favorite shows. So thanks for everybody. JP says it best. Smash that like button. Really does help us out. Hit the share button. Have the notifications on. Mike went a little... We got to talk Kentucky football, and I wasn't here. I felt like a loser because I missed that thing. But if something crazy happens, we'll go live, and we'll be sure to catch you. But thank you for everybody hanging out. Look forward to you seeing you next time.
Did you hear the most commented thing, Shane, was, it looks like you're safe. You won't be working in the mines after Vince Morrow's leaving Kentucky.
Sure as shit, he was the cancer, you know?
All right, so that's going to do it. Appreciate each and every one of you. Fall camp preview series, one down, 15 more to go. We've never completed the entire thing. Hopefully this is the year we get it done. Until next time, we appreciate you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Boomer!
Sooner.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.